Okay, well, let me pray, and we're going to look at Psalm 1. Our Father, thank you for how we can have holidays, and often holidays do involve relaxing and resting, but also enjoying and exploring your world. And thank you for our little group who went away for a good number of days where we could see such beauty and to behold your glory. Just ask that you would help us tonight as we come and look at Psalm 1. Thank you for this lovely, simple psalm, a short psalm that has so much in it. And I ask for your help through the Holy Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 1. Well, just to begin with, just to share about Tassie, one of the things about Tasmania is just the beautiful gardens. And not only are there beautiful gardens, like private gardens, just normal gardens as you drive along, but there are beautiful gardens that have been established by the government, by private enterprise. And one of my favourite gardens, it was called Emu Valley Rhododendron Farm, which is just south of Burnie. And we went there, and I've been there before, and it's just a beautiful day. They got these ponds and lakes, and the garden was just full of rhododendrons. So this time of the year, they are a big bush full of flowers, like a much bigger azalea, and all the different colours. So you can imagine how beautiful it was. And they've got a Japanese section as well. So we went down to the bottom where the Japanese section is, the red bridge and the red painted hut. And they had all these cherry blossoms just flowering prolifically. So they're really nice too, aren't they? And then they've also got other parts to the garden too, some other trees from Taiwan and from Korea, from North America. And so you have all these amazing different trees, not only in terms of flowers, but also in terms of different leaf colours. So the Japanese maple, that's a beautiful tree. So can you imagine seeing all that, eh? So we were there for hours just enjoying it. And also, in the ponds, Dennis got into this. The little platypuses. So they were there, and we got to see them surfacing and then doing the little duck dive and go under the water for a minute, and they come back up and they look around, then they go back down. They're a beautiful little creature. So it's so nice to see them as well. Yeah, there were lots of beautiful flowers. I took a lot of photos of the different flowers. Up near Wynyard is also called the Tablelands. There are fields and fields of tulips. So you drive up to the top and just colour everywhere on the top of this peak overlooking the ocean. So that was just magnificent. But what I'm going to talk about now is when we went down to the deep south, into the wilderness of Tasmania, we went out into that area, and they have the really big gum trees there called the swampy gums. There's different names for it. And these are the tallest flowering plants on the earth. So these grow up to about 100 metres. So that's much bigger than our carry trees, which are about 80 metres. And they grow there because there's such a large amount of rainfall. And they especially grow strong and tall because there's lots of streams flowing around them. And also the soil is just beautiful and rich. And so they grow. They grow for centuries. And they grow tall and big. They have a big girth. And they're just incredible. As you look at them, you go, wow, they are such magnificent trees indeed. And I wanted to mention that because tonight as we look at Psalm 1, there's a picture given of a person, the blessed person, the person who delights in the law of the Lord and in his law meditates day and night. And the picture given in verse 3 is that they are like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its food in season, and its leaf doesn't wither. See the picture? I love the pictures in the Bible. So that beautiful big swampy gum, many of them that we saw, that's a picture of what it says in the Bible about what we are to be like. A person who loves God and who delights in his word. God is saying to us that you become like a tree, a strong, firm tree. And that's a great picture. Do you love the pictures in the Bible? That's one. You're a tree. A mighty tree, a tree that can withstand the storms of life, a tree that can withstand the fires of life. But there's conditions. This tree is established by the waters, and there's a reason why it's strong and tall. So we're going to now explore Psalm 1. I love how Psalm 1, being Psalm 1, is the head of all the psalms, And it's a very appropriate psalm. God's arranged it all for this one to be the number one psalm, because this psalm sets the pattern for all the other psalms. The psalms are often telling us that there are two ways to live. There's a righteous way and the wicked way. And the psalm one begins with that. There is a way to live that pleases God, and there's a way that doesn't please God, and it ends up where you perish. All right, so let's have a look at this great psalm. So, if you have your Bibles, we'll read it. I remember learning this psalm off by heart when I was young too. It's not a hard psalm to learn off by heart. It's good to do that, to memorise scripture. So my translation says in the first verse, I'll read verses 1 to 3. How blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. All right. Three verses. Three great verses. First one thing I want to look at is it talks about in verse 1 the blessed person. How blessed is the person? What does it mean to be blessed? Oh, by the way, some of our translations have the word happy. I grew up with the NIV and it has happy. I would say to you, not trying to be too pushy this here, but it's not probably the best translation. It means more than just being happy. So I like this translation that has the word blessed. What does it mean to be the blessed person? It doesn't sort of answer it. It tells you how to become a blessed person. But the blessed person in the Bible is not the person with all the money in the bank, you know, has all the properties, never has any health problems. The world would think you're blessed if that's the case with you. You know, the blessed person is a person where all the circumstances of life are just perfect, you know, everything's just going just great. You're just full of happiness. The blessed person in the Bible is a person who has the favour of God upon their life. And that favour of God is seen. What are the two great characteristics of the blessed person, even if they're going through difficult circumstances and trials? Jesus taught us this. They are filled with peace and joy. That's the blessed person. If you're blessed of the Lord, then you will know his peace in your life and his wonderful joy. And that's to be blessed. That's God blessing you with these wonderful qualities. And I'm just going to read some great verses before I go any further in regards to that. So the blessed person, Jesus said these things. John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. See, Jesus speaking about this. That's the blessed person. Or in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's the blessed person. Peter's talking about Christians going through trials, and yet they have this joy and delight in their life. And what about this word peace? Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And there we read about peace. Jesus gives us peace. And then there's that other great verse by the Apostle Paul about peace. Which one's that one? Philippians. Do you know that one? Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. It starts off about praying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I'm just sharing these verses, because in the New Testament we get to see these verses. That's the blessed person. And if it even was the case for people in the Old Testament. So back to Psalm 1. What does it mean to be blessed? The blessed person is the person who's favoured by God and has peace and joy in their life, and it's irrespective of the circumstances of life. Then you're blessed. Pretty good, isn't it? And we can throw other words in there too. The blessed person is content. There's a contentment in their life. There's a settledness in their life. There's all these things. There's hope in their life. That's the blessed person. Okay, so coming back to Psalm 1, it then talks in Psalm 1, blessed is the person, and it tells us two things about what they don't do and what they do do. Alright, what don't they do? Well, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. See the don'ts there? How would you summarise that? What are they not doing? If we were thinking in terms of our own culture, what aren't they doing? They're not being worldly. They're not getting their counsel, their philosophy for living from the world. Do you see that? So, you know, they're not allowing media, social media, the newspapers, the magazines, the glossy magazines, their non-Christian friends. They're not even allowing their own counsel to drive their life, to dictate how they live. The blessed person says no to that. The blessed person says no to the worldly ways. All right. And so that's how it is for us too. So we need to be careful of all the different things out there, that we're not listening to the worldly counsel out there and the worldly ways, and to not get caught up with that. That will lead us down a worldly path and we will not know the blessing of God. So as a Christian, is a person who puts their faith in Jesus. They're saved by grace. This is an instruction for us. It carries through to the New Testament. We have to be careful that we're not caught up with worldly counsel and worldly philosophy. There's a whole lot of stuff out there. You know, you think of all the slogans out there, you know, just do it. That's not Christian, you know. You can probably think of so many things, eh? There's all these slogans out there. We are to say no to those things. It's not about me being the centre of the universe, living a self-centred life, doing what I want, not caring about anybody else. That's the worldly counsel, and we are not to be caught up with that. So that's a challenge for us, because it sort of seeps in, and we have to be careful of that seeping in, where we become worldly in our thinking. Yeah. So also, I remember Peter Moyle, a long time ago when he was here, I remember this, it just came to me then, that he also spoke in this verse about the progression. It talks about, it says, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Notice, walk, stand, sit. There's a downhill trend. You walk in the company of the wicked and you get comfortable with that, you stand with them, and finally you're sitting with them. See that? You're like the frog in the warm water that's getting heated up. You know, you're in trouble. So we have to be aware of these things. So be careful of the counsel you listen to, especially worldly counsel. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't hang out with them. You know, I have friends who used to hang out with their non-Christian friends at nightclubs and stuff like that, and they get drawn away to that way of living. Yeah, it's just so sad to see people falling away. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers, where you just sit in judgment of people and just scoff and mock, you know. Just keep away from those paths. Yep. All right. So that's the don't do that. Then we have the do's. What is the do? Well, that's in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's the do. So how do you not listen to the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers? You can't just do nothing. You can't just have a vacuum. You need to do the opposite. Listen to the counsel of the Lord. Stand in the path of the godly and talk about the Lord and his word. And sit amongst those who will encourage and edify you, like what we call church. That's the blessed person. The do's. The do's are good. And you notice that the do's is all contingent on the great word of God. It's the word of God. So let's have a look at verse 2 in detail. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Law of the Lord was a nickname that the Jewish people used to use for what we call the Bible. But they never had the whole Bible back then, did they? They just had a part of the Bible. So we can translate that word in terms of our understanding. But his delight is in the Bible. The Bible now is made complete. We have Old and New Testament. The person delights in the Bible, the Word of God, and in his law, he meditates day and night. All right, so there's a few things to pick up on here. The blessed person delights. Ooh, that's a good word to look at. delights in the Word of God. So how are you when it comes to the Word of God? Do you have a delight in it? Do you read it because you have to? Do you read it because the pastor says I've got to? Or do you read it because you want to? You delight in it. We've got to own up here. There are times, barren times in our life where it's just a chore. And you've got to try and get out of that as soon as you can. The blessed person is a person who understands what this book is and they have a delight in it. This is the Word of God. This is the way that I get to know who God really is. This is the way I get to know the path that God has set for me. How I get to know His counsel in regards to the things in my life. It's meant to be a book we pick up and are delighted in, excited to find out, what will God tell me today? Well, what am I going to learn about the Lord today? What more am I going to learn about Jesus? It's meant to be a joy, a delight. But so often, for many Christians, it becomes a chore. It becomes something we do just occasionally. The blessed person is the one who understands what we have been given and they have a delight in His book. So that's what we've got to work on. I know I say that. Work on. Something we have to constantly work on. During holidays, I found it hard to have my regular quiet time. I had to work on finding time because there's so many distractions for me. Being in another place, so many things to do to have time to read the Word and to delight in it, even though I'd love to play in the snow. No. Some things are more important. All right. And the next part of verse 2, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. And you would know, oh wow, that doesn't just say read, meditate. Okay, meditate. Meditate doesn't mean empty your mind, like Eastern meditation. No, in the Bible, meditate means fill your mind. Fill your mind with God's truth. And when we read the Bible, that's how we're meant to be reading it. We read it, and we stop, and we consider what we've read. In the Psalms, they have a little word in some of the Psalms called Selah. It hasn't even finished the Psalm, and there's some part way through, and it has a Selah. Then it go read a bit more than Selah. And Selah means stop, pause, consider. How we need them in our life. How we need them when we read the Bible. How difficult it is to have them though, because we're in a rush. Our life, our crazy pace of life stops us from reading the Bible when we should, daily, and to read it well. So they're the things that we need to work on, because the blessed person is connected to the person who does those things. They delight in the Word of God and they meditate. They stop and pause and consider His Word. And they do it day and night. Day and night? You got to be joking. How on earth can you fit that in? Day and night. Yes, the blessed person, day and night, meditates upon the Word of the Lord. You know, you can fit it in. It all comes down to priorities. It's a good thing in the morning to read the Bible. We don't want to talk about rules here. We're talking about good practice. Why is it a good thing to read the Bible in the morning? Because it keeps you, it puts you on the right track from the beginning. Read the Word of the Lord in the morning. And it's good to read the Word of the Lord at night. Why is that? Well, I don't know, it just helps you be settled with God's truth. It allows you to have a good sleep, I noticed. And it's even good to have thought about how you read the Bible. Like, I often might read teaching book in the morning and the Psalms at night. Or whatever, you know. Probably not read Revelation. Might not allow me to sleep too well. I don't know. but you have, your Bible is so vast, you can pick whatever you want and read it day and night. Meditate. One of the things that I do in terms of meditating on the Word, I didn't realize it was really meditating, but after I've read the Bible, I pray to the Lord about what I've read. I've shared this before. It's telling the Lord, because I'm thinking about what I've read, and I'm telling the Lord what I've learnt in terms of something about Him, about His ways, something I need to sort out in my own life, but it's part of meditating on the Word. Okay. So this is what we've got to do. This is the blessed person. I want to emphasize that again, the blessed person, the person who has God's peace and joy in their life. There's things that they don't do, and there's things that they do. And then the Bible tells us, and I began with this, the Bible paints this beautiful picture of the blessed person. The blessed person is not listening to the counsel of the wicked, but meditating upon the word of the Lord day and night. Verse 3 says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Wow! He's like a tree. We don't have to go to Tassie to see big trees. Have you ever noticed in WA, the big trees, we don't have many rivers here, the big trees are always next to the river. You would go into the country, and you see the big trees, near the stream, near the river, near the Avon River, near wherever. And there's something telling you there about the tree and the stream. And the picture given here is that when we allow the Word of God to water our life, then we become like a tree, how it grows strong near physical water. And we grow, we become strong, and we become strong in the sense of standing the storms of life and the fires of life. You think of a tree out there, you know, you've got storms that hit it, you've got fires that can ravage it. But and I think of that for us. We can have storms and fires in our life, metaphorically. And if we are planted by the streams of water, feeding on the Word of God, allowing God's Word, God's Spirit to minister to us, then we're going to stand. We won't be burnt. We won't be destroyed. That's the picture. That's the promise. Wow, that's great. So be like a tree, feeding on the Word of God. Now, I've got a few verses here that I'd like to read. And I love how Jesus picks up on this language. And he talks about the Spirit being the water of life. So instead of going metaphoric now, tree, physical water, we're now going to speak spiritually about us being people who are allowing the Spirit of God, the water of God, the living water, to flow in us. And Jesus says these words in John chapter 4, 13 and 14. Everyone who drinks of this water, what water? He's talking to the woman at the well. Normal water. Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, for the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. What a picture. So as we feed on the Word of God and allow God's Spirit to minister to us, we will be filled with life, spiritual life, abundant life, eternal life. Back to Psalm 1, you'll be like the tree with streams of water making it grow strong. In John 7, 37 to 39, Jesus spoke similar words. John 7, 37 to 39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So in that passage, it's mentioned how that mention of living water, the river of living water, is a metaphor of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you understand it. We read Psalm 1 verse 3, and we're talking about a tree planted by streams of water. It's a picture of a person who's allowing God's Spirit through the Word to fill their life. Alright? That's how you become strong. Do you understand that? So it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit will use the Bible, His truth, God's truth, to make us grow strong. So when you read the Bible, let's all be conscious of that. We're not just reading any words. As we read the Bible, as we read God's Word, God's Spirit is the one who makes that Word alive in our hearts and gives us the counsel that we need. God's Word and God's Spirit together. By giving ourselves to the reading of the Word and allowing God's Spirit to teach us, we become like a mighty tree. Okay. Rightio, so now we come down to verse 4. I'll read verses 4 to 6, and there's a contrast presented. Oh, hang on, I haven't finished yet. Not only will you be like a mighty tree firmly planted, I forgot to mention this. You'll be fruitful. Does that have a connection to the New Testament? Spirit produces fruit. Do you know that one? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Spirit, what kind of fruit does he produce in us? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're not going to just be strong to bear through the storms of life, but we'll be fruitful. We'll bear good fruit to give glory to God. And it also says that our leaf won't wither, and whatever we do, we will prosper. Not prosper like get lots of money and win lotto and all that stuff. That's just the junk stuff. No, we will prosper spiritually. We will grow. We'll be strong. The things that we do in life will count for eternity. And I just think of that. You know, that's precious, isn't it? This is the blessing, the blessed person. What a blessing they are to the world. All right, now we come to the contrast. Verses 4 to 6. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And I always think of Psalm 1 as quite a striking psalm. I've just been reading in verse 3 about the blessed person. They're like a tree, a mighty tree, planted by the streams of water. So what is God, and that's God's view, alright, just remember that's God's view, not the world's view. What's God's view on those who are not doing the right thing, who are not listening to God's truth and living by that truth, who are listening to worldly counsel, and they might be mega rich and have domination over the world. What does God consider them to be like? I love it. It's not like a little tree, or like a bush, or like a weed. It's lower than that. God sees them as chaff. Can you believe that? What a contrast. God sees people in our world who are mighty and powerful. They're like chaff. Can you take that in? They're not even a weed. They're less than that. They're like chaff. What does it say? Like chaff which the wind drives away. All that stuff they might have in life. It's just, to God, it's nothing. They have missed a total point of eternity. They're just here for a moment and gone. And that's what a contrast that is, isn't it? Let's remind ourselves that when it says the wicked are not so. They're like chaff. The wicked, who are the wicked? The criminal in jails? No. The definition of the Bible is the wicked are everybody, even good-natured people, everybody who does not believe in God, who has not committed themselves, especially in the New Testament, to Christ. Anybody who has not given their life to Jesus, they are considered the wicked. And they are like chaff. They're not like a mighty tree at all. And that's why, because they don't have God in their life, when the trials of life come, they just crumble. You surely have seen that. People who have been mighty and powerful, they just crumble. They lose their wealth, or somebody comes against them, And not only that, in terms of eternity, they're not going to be living in heaven. Yep. Alright, so they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. That's God's picture. So important when we live life, that we live life from God's perspective. I know this in terms of the world. The world doesn't see stuff like that. The world sees the blessed person, the Christian, to be, you know, pathetic, the weakling, the person we just don't want in society. God says, no, they're like the mighty tree. They're strong. They're such a blessing, fruitful. The world says that the people who live for themselves and dominate and all that, the champions, like that, they're just magnificent. But God says, they're the chaff. Their lives don't count. They'll pass away. You've got to get God's perspective in your head. Otherwise, you'll misunderstand life. All right, so we'll keep reading. Verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. What's that about? The wicked will not stand in the judgment. So, the word judgment is mentioned. And what that is saying is that the day will come when we will be judged by God. And the wicked won't stand in the day of judgment. That means to say, as they stand before the holy God, they will not be left standing. What position will they be having? They'll be cowering before the one who will judge them and condemn them and cast them into the depths of hell. They will not be able to stand. But we who love Jesus will stand. We will stand before God and even be welcomed into his presence. Not because of how good we've been, but because we have been blessed by reading his word. And as we read his word, guess what we found out? How to be saved. And we came to know Jesus by the counsel of the Lord. We came to know how to be saved by giving our life to him. And we will stand before God. But the wicked shall be cast away. It's pretty full on, isn't it? This is Psalm 1. It sets the pattern for all the rest of the Psalms. And it also says there in the second half of verse 5, nor will sinners be found in the assembly of the righteous. That is to say, in eternity, they will not be found in the company of the Christian, the person who believes in Jesus. Heaven will not have everybody there. Heaven will only be filled with people who love the Lord, who lived this life for Jesus, who meditated upon God's word, who fed their soul by the living word of God. And they're the ones who will be in heaven. And sinners, people who haven't repented of their sin, because we're all sinners, people who have not repented of their sin and turned to Jesus to be saved, they will not be found with the righteous. God will make a distinction. We know that, don't we? There will be a distinction. Heaven will be filled with those who love the Lord, and hell will be filled with those who chose to reject the Lord. Heaven will be filled with those who loved God's word and read it and believed it and trusted in Jesus. Hell will be filled with those who rejected God's word and did their own thing. I did it my way. Wow. That's how it will be. And then we come to the last verse. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. And not only does he know the way of the righteous, he knows us. I love how Jesus spoke about this in John 10, about him being the shepherd, and I know my sheep, I know them by name. He knows our ways, and he knows the right way, and he knows us by name. What a blessing. The blessed person is known to God. God loves us and knows us. He watches over us and looks after us. But the way of the wicked will perish. Notice it doesn't just say the wicked will perish, the way of the wicked will perish. Not only will the wicked one day be swept away by God into hell, but even the way of the wicked, all those wicked ways will be removed one day. As we know when we did the series in Revelation, there's coming a coming day when we'll live in a new creation and there'll only be perfect righteousness and peace in this world, in this new creation. That's where we're heading. God's already sorted it out. It's going to happen. It's up to us whether we're going to be wise and follow the counsel of the Lord or be foolish and follow the counsel of the world. Whether we be wise and read his word and meditate upon it and take it in, or whether we're going to listen to what this world says. And this world has a very loud voice at the moment. It's very powerful and dominating. It's just constantly, everywhere you look, anti-God views, anti-Christian views, anti-Jesus views. How dangerous the days we live in. I feel for our kids, my grandkids. These are the days that we need to really listen to the counsel of the Lord and follow his word. And above everything, keep your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. So just in closing, I just want to ask you all, how are you going with verse 2? Delighting in the law of the Lord. How are you going in meditating day and night upon God's word? And you can ask me, how are you going? What have you been reading lately? Are you reading the word of God well? Are you delighting in what you read? Are you encouraging each other in this? How we need the counsel of the Lord, how we need his word in our life, in the days we live. Well, we'll have some discussion, but I'll pray first of all. Dear Father, thank you for this great psalm that we've looked at, a beautiful psalm. And we thank you for all the psalms, and this one specifically that just sets the tone from the beginning. And we thank you that that there's this, you teach us about being a blessed person, not in the eyes of the world, but in your eyes. And I ask for all of us here that we would be blessed, have your favour upon us, because we have chosen to humble ourselves and to take in your truth and your word, to allow your word to rule our life. And we thank you that your word isn't just about do's and don'ts. Your word has so much to tell us about what you've done for us in Jesus and how you have saved us through Christ and how we are to have faith in him so that we are saved by grace. And I just ask that you would protect us all from the ways of this world, from the very loud voice of our world, from the counsel of this world that is full of corruption and pollution, and that you would help us to follow Jesus and to have your blessing, your favour upon our life, peace and joy, even in all the things that we go through. And Lord, help us to feel for those who might have everything, who might be living the dream, so to speak. Help us to see things correctly and to remember that in your eyes they're like chaff that will be driven away one day. And Lord, I know that that's not the end of the picture. You want us to love people like that and to help them to come to know Jesus, that they might become like a tree planted by the streams of water. Lord, it is our heart's desire that we might have the joy of seeing many people, even around us, even people who we love and care for, that they might come to know Jesus and become that blessed person that this psalm speaks of. Yeah, Lord, thank you for tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.